Greetings, children of the cosmos. This is Mostly Science and Fiction, a podcast about science fiction. I am Commander Jacob XP, and with me, as always, is my co-commander, the omniscient C-Tope.
Welcome. How's it going, bro? Welcome. Good, man. Good. How are you?
I'm feeling great. How's your trip?
Trip was good and bad, but mostly wonderful. Mostly wonderful.
You got some AIDS, I heard.
I did contract Korean influenza. It was a pretty good one.
Carinza.
Yes.
That's not a thing.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. Wow, yes. So, yeah, so you're saying your ears are exploding on the plane and stuff like that?
Yeah, because when you get a cold or flu, your membranes in your nasal passages all swell up and they can block off the little air passages within your skull, the sinuses. And if those get blocked off and you're in the plane and the pressure changes as you're going up or down in the plane, you're going to feel some pain.
Yeah, I can remember. Cool. So, dude, the tradition here at Mostly Science and Fiction is, of course...
Fun fact, bro.
Absolutely. What have you got, baby?
Well, considering I've just been overseas, the fun fact is going to be a doozy. You know how you and I love zombies, and we were all about that Zompoc.
I love zombie shit. It's one of my favorite shits. You know anything about me, you know zombie shit is like my favorite shit other than maybe space shit. That's about it.
That's about it, isn't it?
It goes space shit, zombie shit.
Well, zombie, I'm massive for zombies, and the Zompoc, the zombie apocalypse, right? I recently heard this news, and... At first, I thought nothing of it. There was a pretty big earthquake in Korea, where I've just been traveling to. And
oh, really?
Yeah, and it's quite a rare occurrence, because they're actually connected to the Asiatic plate, which is really relatively quite stable, except for in the north of China, where China sort of runs into Mongolia, and Mongolia sort of runs into Siberia.
And Japan blocks all the tsunamis. That's not something to laugh about, but Koreans... really get off on that.
They really appreciate that.
They really like the fact that Japan bears the brunt of the storms.
Bless them.
It's like a little Japanese shield.
It's really. Japanese bodyguard. Your Jimbo.
Yeah.
That's the Japanese word for bodyguard. Yeah. Anyway, so there was this earthquake, and earthquakes are quite new to Korea, and they checked, and it's nothing to do with the North Korean nuclear. Nothing to do with that. This is actually...
Because they would have jumped to that conclusion, right? Like, we're under attack, motherfuckers?
That's what you thought, right? But they didn't. Here's what they did, okay? And they're very technologically and they're very commercially savvy, the South Koreans. You know, they're world power in economics. You know, Samsung, LG, Hyundai, all that good stuff.
Hyundai,
mate.
The most powerful cars in the world. Wow. Well, powerful in the zombie apocalypse. They sponsor The Walking Dead. There you go.
Bang! You're right. They did. That was a major sponsor of that, weren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Hyundai sponsors The Walking Dead. So there you go. It's the only car that could be featured in that series.
I wonder what their sort of take on was after Glenn died. Surely they knew he was going to die, right? Because he was the major South Korean representative in the show.
Dude, when fucking whatever his name is, went to... What's that fucking guy's name? So when Steven Yeun, who played Glenn, when he first went to Korea, man, that motherfucker was like a god to them. They're like, yeah, Korea! Like, they gave him so many clothing. They gave him shoes with his own face on it. Because when a Korean makes it in any industry, Koreans, they're very unified.
Yeah.
They go fucking bunters, dude. They
absolutely.
Went nuts. So yeah, when he died, I wonder what... Do you reckon people cried?
Absolutely they did. Absolutely
well,
they
Americans
did.
Cried. Australian, I cried.
American Koreans definitely did.
I cried on the inside because he was my favourite character.
I cried for Maggie.
I cried for Glenn because I liked how he was just like this little nerdy Asian dude. He was a newspaper delivery or pizza delivery kid or something. And then he actually became pretty badass. And when he first went, when they first got to Alexandria and someone went to throw a punch at him, like Glenn just... Like it was nothing, just deflected it and put that cunt on his ass, you know? Like, he fucking was a badass.
Yeah, he came of age. He really did.
He was a bad dude. He could kick ass. Yeah, that's what I really liked. And also,
he came of age, man. Like,
he's gorgeous in interviews. But anyway, I've derailed. Sorry.
So there was the earthquake, right? And the logical conclusion after an earthquake is, well, that was a freak accident of nature. Let's get to repairing and making sure our buildings are going to withstand the future earthquake when it comes. If it comes, it's going
to
come, you know.
Do they not have coded?
That's a logical...
They do,
but this was sort of in a new area, and this was sort of, quite large. Nothing like this in recent history had occurred. So, that would be the logical conclusion, right? Incorrect. Here's what happened. this sneaky company started advertising these survival backpacks in case a large earthquake came about. They're not scared of the North Koreans. They're not scared of Trump or the Japanese. They're not scared of the Chinese. What they're scared about is this random earthquake coming about. And these survival backpacks are high tech. They've got stuff. They've got med stuff. It's a Zompack, bro. It's a Zompack.
Please tell me it has a little hatchet in there.
Dude, you know it's got some sort of, you know, Korean knockoff of a Swiss Army knife. You know it does, right?
Yeah.
It definitely does.
But and MREs, they have like some fucking...
But think about it, right? They're so advanced medically. Like, I went over there, I had dentistry done for like, you know, pocket change, chocolate money, you know? It's just incredible. You don't have to book in to see a specialist over there. You want to go see a specialist, you walk in their door.
I am scared about... I've been to Korea several times. My ex is... Well, South Korean. We were together for a long time. I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
I am terrified, not terrified, I am sort of off put by the amount of pharmaceuticals they cram down their throats, though. Dude. They're like a pill for everything, man. I'm like,
it's amazing. It's amazing. Like, and a needle for everything, too.
Yeah, I'm just like, I don't know how, like, vaccines are great if you have a serious infection, antibiotics, but I think they just handing shit out, man. I'm
like, absolutely.
It's like, it's worse than in the States, man. They are. Like, if you've got a sniffle, they're like, here, have this container for 6 weeks and you pay $400. Like, it's insane.
It's impressive. It's impressive. But it's scary, they also have this, if you've got a flu or something, they've got this needle. They give you this needle and there's just, it's this cocktail of happy make feel good. Like, they right? This was hilarious because I got the needle, right? They said, before. You want the needle? And I was like, God, I don't really want the needle, but I'm feeling shit, you know?
But I
all right,
want the needle.
Give us the needle, right? And so I went into this small cubicle where this nurse, you know, this Korean nurse, you know, she says,
nice.
Ondongi, she, you know, pull down your pants. Ondongi is bottom. I was like, all right, yep. So I'll pull down my pants, right? And she slaps it a few times. Whack, whack, whack. And I was like,
that's
fuck,
good stuff.
You know.
Then what happened?
And then she jabbed me with the needle, right? And she goes, and she smiled at me and said, unappayo, which is like, didn't hurt, did it? And I said, jogumappayo, it hurt a little bit.
did you get a number? Nah, you're married.
It's like, yeah,
dude, but the thing is, like, doesn't that concern you, the amount of drugs they're pumping? Like,
I'm a foreigner. I'm a visitor. I'm happy to take a few pills if I've got like a really good dose of something.
But isn't it a global issue? Like the immunities we're building to antibiotics and those strains of bugs?
Let me tell you, exactly. Let me tell you, some of the worst outbreaks in civilized, industrialized, modern, super advanced technological societies have happened in China, Japan, and Korea. These societies have impressive medical skills, but their over prescription of the antibiotics in particular.
Yeah.
That's what I'm
worried about, man. So your fun fact is they got zombie packs.
They got zombie backpacks, bro, for the Zompoc. That's exactly what they are. They will get you far. You know when Rick and them are going out and doing runs? That's what they're looking for.
Yeah, little go bags.
You know?
Fuck. That's a fun fact and a scary fact.
It's pretty good, isn't it? It's pretty good. And guess what? They're sold out now, man.
Oh, of course they are. And here's the thing. I mean, look. So here's the thing, though. I forgot what I was talking about. It doesn't matter.
Zombies.
I don't know, dude. Yeah, the thing about those bags are genius business strat. The thing is, instead of trying to like get coded buildings, they're not finding a prevention. They're finding a cure. And there's no money in prevention. There's a shitload of money in cures, isn't there?
And it's sort of like the perfect product in a way, because what are people going to do with that backpack? They're going to store it in their cupboard. It's going to go out of date. Guess what? We're going to have to buy replacement materials. Another backpack. Yep. It's sort of like the perfect product. It was very ingenious. When I heard about it, my cynical brain just went, that's so good.
That's genius. I've been listening to a podcast recently called We're Alive. And it's a zombie. It's an audio book, I guess. Each week they put out a 20-minute clip and it's a zombie story, basically. It's like The Walking Dead, but in audio form. And it started like 5 years, 6 years ago or something. So I've just discovered it randomly and I was like, what? And so I've got all these backdated issues. So I've just been listening to like zombie apocalypse stuff for ages. Awesome. And it's very interesting. One of the points they brought up was like food expires after X amount of years. And so I started looking this shit up. Like what is some of the longest lasting foods?
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was, because I've been in full zombie mode, you know, The Walking Dead is back on, the fifth episode's out.
Yep.
So, you know, I've been in full zombie mode. Z Nation, the antonym to fucking Walking Dead, is out, and they're in their 6th, 7th episode or something like that. And then I've been listening to this podcast. So I've been fucking going nuts on zombies. And I started looking it up, and like, most canned food will only last like at most 5 years. So now you start to think, at most, like that's like, that's not even good canned food. Like, most canned food is 2 years.
Yeah.
MREs, like freeze-dried, dried food sealed, like MREs that they use in you know, army and stuff like that.
Army rations and stuff.
Rations, yeah. That's 5 years at most.
There's an entire YouTube channel dedicated to eating those old army rations. It's hilarious.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, food's a tough one. I think, yeah, it's very interesting. In this podcast, they grow their own food, and it's like real sort of, it's proper survival stuff. It's pretty cool. Anyway, fucking, that was a huge introduction.
That was a huge introduction. But yeah, fun fact. Hey, yeah.
Fun fact and a half. Now, let's get started here. Today's topic is about movies that have been made into TV series. Now, obviously, this is a sci-fi podcast, so we're only going to be really talking sci-fi and fantasy here, right?
Yeah, but I got some. How many have been made into movies, like series from, you know, like.
A lot.
Just sci-fi. Some fantasy we'll talk about, but yeah.
Well, I'm gonna start off with some fantasy. I'm gonna start off with Lord of the Rings, the TV series. Now, I'm not talking about animated. I'm talking about these motherfuckers are making a Lord of the Rings TV series. Well, how do you feel about that? Have you heard about this? Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
Yes, I have heard about it, but only after you and I were sort of talking about what, last week or something.
Do you think it's going to be a follow-on, a continuation?
No, I think it's going to be setting, because that world he created is much bigger than Lord of the Rings. It's like really quite big. It's the whole Silmarillion book as well, and it's huge.
It's a prequel, motherfucker. They're doing a prequel in a TV form,
but nothing related to the actual Lord of the Rings story, right?
Oh, so of course there will be tie-ins, but no, not really. Well, they don't know. There's not that much about it yet.
My understanding was it's going to be sort of same world, but isolated area, not related to the one ring, not related to Sauron, not related to Mordor. It's going to be separate stories in Middle Earth.
Yeah, well, it's set as a prequel. It's going to be more or less between The Hobbit and The Fellowship of the Ring. So basically, it's set before The Fellowship of the Ring. So obviously, you're not going to have the massive final ring story, but you're still going to have, during this time, you know, the orc army was slowly building. So it's kind of going to be, it's going to be like similar to that Shadow of Mordor video game series that was received pretty well.
Yeah.
Similar to that. So you're right, it's not going to be like the one ring and fucking finger the ring, but then it's good, you know, but it's still going to be in that world with the orcs, and you know that there's this big build up. So whatever happens in this series, again, prequel, you fucking, doesn't matter, who cares? But you're right, it is such an expansive universe, it doesn't need to be a prequel.
I hope it's not like, you know, this, he is the son of such and such, and then we ask the audience, go, oh, so that's gonna be where Gandalf is gonna come in.
Of Gondolongalore, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
I hope it's not like that, because I actually really, really like that world that Tolkien created, and I think it's a fun
world.
There's a lot there, and
what can you do though outside of the main story?
As a TV show, though, can it work? Because it's so expansive, you can't use the cheap psychological tricks of cliffhangers, of build and gather pace. It's so expansive. How are they going to do it for a TV show, I wonder?
We did a prequel episode last one. I've turned one of those into a video on YouTube / Jake's Place. Here's the thing, though. I don't know. They bought it. Amazon's doing it. They bought it for $250 million. That's how much the deal cost. They want it to be, which is already what, like, these big budget movies cost. So they've already bought this. It's said to be close to $250 million. They've already spent the budget of a massive Hollywood film just acquiring the rights. So it's very interesting how big they want it to be, the next Game of Thrones. They're calling it a fantasy series of the Game of Thrones caliber. Now, if they have that budget, that level of dedication in the Lord of the Rings universe, yeah. As long as they keep it small scale. Like, Game of Thrones is pretty epic, but if they keep it small scale, like, then they still have magic and orcs and cool. Like, if they make it Hobbit styles and not Lord of the Rings styles, then fuck yeah, this could actually be fairly decent. I don't know.
Yeah, I wonder, huh? Because if, and I think there were parts of Lord of the Rings, the books at least, that it was no joke. You know, arrows through the eyes and black blood and the whole, you know, the
deaths. Well, here's the thing. I don't know if it's going to be as gory like that. I think they meant caliber in terms of quality. Like, it's going to be that sort of budget, that sort of scenescape, that sort of epicness. I don't know if it's... Because, like, you know what? The Lord of the Rings was actually pretty brutal. Like, they were shooting orcs and they were stabbing people and cutting heads off and stuff. And then the Hobbit TV series came... The Hobbit trilogy came out. And it was fucking weak as piss. There was no blood and guts or anything. It was lame.
It was completely Disney-fied.
And then everyone goes, well, yeah, The Hobbit was a kid's book, but The Lord of the Rings, who cares? Why? Who gives a shit? Like, mate, this should have been violent and awesome.
So, in all realistic, you know, praise of Lord of the written material, in all realistic praise of the written material, do you think that they're going to be trying to create, you know, sort of feed off the audience already created with the movies and that were done, just, you know, Peter Jackson did? Do you think they're going to be trying to feed off that?
You've described perfectly a prequel. So yes, I do.
God, I hope they have the balls to do something original.
Yeah, well, we'll
even
see.
Though it's the prequel universe, I hope they have the balls already, to.
Look, the universe there is great. I just don't know if you need to set it. What I'm scared about is setting it around that time. So you're going to have all this and that. I think set it afterwards. Because you still have magic. You're still going to have orcs running around or baddies. You're going to have monsters and demons and trolls. But if you set it afterwards, it's completely free to go wherever you want. But if you set it before, you can't do anything drastic or cool. Like, I don't know.
You can't. The only way you can do it is have it not connected.
Well, yeah, absolutely. But how can you do it and not have it connected? At least with, like... Well, at least if you said it afterwards, you could have throwbacks to the old one. Oh, remember that big-ass thing? Like, still have it completely isolated. Like, yeah, man, I was on this island the whole time. I didn't even know. You know what I mean? Like, how can you do a Lord of the Rings and not have the ring in it? You know, there's going to be rings. You know what I mean? There's only one. I don't know how they're going to do it, but it's annoying. So
it's full of questions.
I hate prequels, dude. Prequels. Here's some more news. How do you like the idea of a Star Wars TV series that's not animated?
Wow. I do like it a lot. Because I wonder if they'd actually try to correct some of the bullshit they've done over the last, you know, 5-6 years.
How
is that happening?
It absolutely is happening.
What?
Now...
Oh, my God.
Oh, so you haven't seen this? You haven't heard about this?
I haven't seen this. Haven't heard about this.
So how... Okay, then. I would assume a lot of our listeners have, but for those who haven't, and for you, C-Tope, can you guess what it's going to be about? What would you like it to be about?
I'd like it to be about the origins of the Jedi.
Oh, okay, so you're thinking new, like the Republic, Jedi Republic sort of stuff. Like,
no, like the mythical sort of
The first Jedis. There's already been a lot of comic books and stuff about that, and like
they like Yoda's race and stuff like that, you know, because no one really knows about Yoda.
You know, there is a Yoda's race. There is another Yoda in the animated series, and he also talks stupidly as well, which is weird. So it's not, I don't know, I don't like
Yeah,
it.
They all apparently all Yoda's race talking that back the
which
front.
Is, which is dumb. But here's the thing. In the Star Wars lore, like Wikipedia, they say that the original Jedi, they believe, came from Tatooine. And that's why they have the robes. Now we talked about this last time. How shit. I was like so angry at the robes, and I'm like, they're just trying to fucking justify the robes. It's almost like someone's been listening to all us haters on the robes, and they're like, no, but the original ones did come from Tatooine, and that's why they wear robes. Doesn't matter. They still retconned robes.
They totally.
It's just.
They totally.
No, here's what it is. Do you think it's... So you think it's going to be... You want it to be a prequel. Do you think it's going
to
be
a
prequel?
No, I don't want it to... I don't want it to be a prequel. I want it to be sort of an origin story.
Which is a prequel in a way. It's set before the events of the original.
Yeah, it is, but it's not directly connected. It's like it's so far back. Yeah,
which is one of the four rules of one of the five rules of making a prequel was... set it many, many, many years before.
Yes.
That way you can't have lineacy and legacy and stuff moving on. You can only have mythology, which is awesome.
Yep.
That'd be cool. Guess what?
What?
Bam! It's a prequel, motherfucker. Star Wars Underworld. It's going to be following the journeys of a young bounty hunter and his mentor. Can you name a bounty hunter from Star Wars who you think... How many bounty hunters can you name from Star Wars off the top of your head? Go.
Boba.
Bang. It's Boba Fett origin story, man. That's what we're getting right here. Okay, probably. Oh my God.
Is Boba that cool? I don't think Boba's that cool. There's some seriously hard on for Boba.
Everyone liked him back in the day, but now they kind of don't. But guess who's playing Boba Fett?
Who?
Okay,
I'll have three guesses.
Okay, go.
Bruce Willis.
Young. No, he's young. So this is an origin story, so he's going to be very young. Youngish.
Holy shit. Pratt. From Guardians of the Galaxy.
Nah.
Not?
Nah, he's too big. He can't do it. This is TV budget, man. Ugh. This is a crappy TV series. The name of the guy is Daniel Logan. Have you ever heard of this before?
No, I don't know Daniel Logan.
Of course
Logan.
You haven't. Neither have I. And here's who he is. He's the guy that played Boba Fett in the prequels. The little kid in the prequels in episode 2. Where they go to the clone thing and you've got Morrison or whatever.
He's the Maori fella.
The Maori dude or whatever. He's the little boy who's like, oh, heaps got your back, eh, did?
I've got your back, did. Get the chili bin quick.
Come on, let's get out of here and get this Jedi, eh? Oh, no, I'm a clone. I'm a clone that you've kept as your sin. Apparently it's him.
It's respectable that it's going to be him.
It's cool if he can act. I've never seen this motherfucker
But wait, anything. Wait. It's not respectable because that was the son of Bob. No, that does that work out?
No, that was Jango Fett. Was Boba Fett was in the 1, 2, 3?
It does 4, 5, 6.
It works out. It works out fine. Jango Fett was Tiana Morrison or whatever. You know, for Warriors, whatever his fucking name is. Awesome dude. I really like him. Actually, he's cool.
Oh, he's fantastic.
And then he was Jango Fett. His son was Boba Fett, and we get a little bit of a that's who Boba Fett is in the episode 2. And then later on, Boba Fett, you know, he can't even work his own jetpack very well, and he falls down a hole and gets eaten by Sarlacc. So who gives a shit? He's dead anyway. Jesus. Who cares? But in the extended universe, before they cancelled it, he actually got out. He didn't die when he Luke Skywalker, he falls in that hole and he gets eaten by the Sarlacc.
Yeah.
Well, in the extended universe, like in the comics and the novels, he actually didn't die. He was in there for a bit and he got out. Like, he fixed his jetpack and shot out of there, so he didn't actually die, and he has his whole series, but that's not canon anymore. This will be canon. So this is a Boba Fett origin story. So what happened to Boba Fett after the Clone Wars, basically? That's the prediction. That hasn't been released. All that we really know is it's called Star Wars... What did I call it? What did I say it was called? Star Wars Underworld. And they've cast one person as Boba Fett. So I don't know if it's going to be necessarily he's going to be the star of the show or whatever, but that's all we know so far. It says it follows a journey of a young bounty hunter and his mentor as they transport shipment around the galaxy, encountering huge threats along the way. So I'm assuming that it's following Boba Fett. We don't know for sure. Here's the thing, though. Well, I kind of like the idea of it because what it is, it's low-key. So what you're not getting Jedi, you're not getting fucking the Force. There might be some Force-sensitive people in there. You're not getting, the Jedi, the trade embargo, hurrah, Jedi, like the most racist trade. I don't even get that shit. The Federation on it. It's like...
And you're not getting Jar Jar Binks either, so...
Yeah, you're not getting all these...
How bad can it be, really?
Well, what I like about it is it's like a noir detective sort of thing, because you're not going to get, like... the Jedi, you're not getting the Sith. I mean, they might have encounters with them from time to time, which would be interesting. But you're getting... It's kind of like when Marvel made Daredevil and stuff. They put it back down on Earth. It's not an end-of-world, end-of-universe scenario. It's just following... It's low-key. It's like a detective story or a fucking crime-solving thing. Or here we're following... It's like a mafioso type thing.
Yeah,
I like that. Local. you keep it low key in the Star Wars world. Like, to me, that's better than trying to do some massive epic thing on a TV budget. You know what I mean?
You see, for me, the TV budget lends itself to the non-tech. It's the low tech, right?
Yeah, so exactly.
My idea was sort of that there were Jedi and there were individuals who had, you know, the high force count. I'm not going to use that fucking word.
Yeah, no. Yeah, well, I know what you're saying.
Before there were fucking lightsabers. Before there was fucking electricity. There was these people.
You want to go pre kyber crystal mines?
I want to go like pre civilization. I want to. But take you still it want it to back.
Be. You still want it to be force and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. For me, a lot of people go, oh, it's Star Wars. It's you know, spaceships. It's intergalactic battles. It's, you know, but for me, Star Wars has always been samurai in space.
Yeah. So you're saying, even though this makes a lot of sense to sort of do it in the world that we're familiar with, but keep it low key, it's almost blasphemic to put a Star Wars name on there without having samurais in space.
I'm sure it will do. I'm sure there'll be some sort of, you know, council member who'll be a Jedi at some, less, you know, who'll oversee this series they're going to put out. They won't be able to make it without doing.
Well, remember back in this time is just after. You know, pretty much this. I imagine this is going to be set around in between the two trilogies, that we've got. So it's going to be set after Darth Vader gets made, but before Luke Skywalker is, you know, of age. So it's basically set in that sort of grace period where the Empire has just taken over. The Sith have taken, like, we know them as to be Sith now, but basically the Empire is there. And so to me, it's like, I kind of like the idea. There's 30 years gap there. We haven't seen what happens between this two time period. It's actually a pretty good time period to set a series, as long as it's not connected. Like, so I think, you know, there's going to be Jedi in hiding, but I think it's going to be there's a lot of Sith running around. So what we're going to be seeing is like these guys doing dirty trade deals. It's like, it's going to be space mafia, dude. And to me, that's kind of cool. Like, I don't know.
In a way, it sort of feels like a little bit Firefly, that setting. Like,
yeah, well, that's what it's going to be.
Smuggling and
they're bounty hunters. They're not the best guys ever either. So if this is done right, what we're going to get is a guy who's collecting criminals or whomever has a bounty. They might not even be criminals. They could be princesses or they could be whatever. They could be Han Solo's. They're also doing a Han Solo solo movie, but ugh. Anyway,
yeah, I heard it. Yeah, we'll another fucking about prequel,
but you know, I don't know, man. It could be very interesting.
I'll definitely be watching it, and like, I'll definitely give it a full. I'll definitely give it a full season, bro.
Well, you're gonna see fully, how it like, turns out, bro. I'm a fucking clone, boy. Man, some fucking Sarlacc eggs, boy.
And before anybody rips on us for that accent, I love Maoris and their accent. They come up with so much original slang, so much original style.
I'm not justifying my accent for nobody.
I love it. Did you see that movie What We Do in the Shadows?
Absolutely, with Taika Waititi. Yeah, that was sick.
So good, right? It's just like,
and Jermaine Clement.
And did you see that episode of the X-Files with him in it, where it was Lizard Man?
No.
What? So good.
Is that new X-Files?
Yeah, that was the newest. Yeah, it was like last year's X-Files.
I haven't actually watched the new X-Files. How?
It's so good.
So what?
It's so good. It really is.
Is it?
It really is. Yeah.
Is it really?
I was actually blown away how much they played with the idea of, you know, Skulder and Mully. It was excellent.
All right. I'll have to check it out. Now, here's the thing. So today's topic is movies that have turned into a TV show.
Yep.
We've been rabbiting for a bit, so let's get fucking hard stuck into it.
All right.
Movies into a TV series. How do you feel about movies being turned into TV series? Can you name a good one? I've got one that I can name that is perfect. Can you?
Name one that's better than the movie. Some things start out as a movie, but then they turn into a series as a side project and they're not connected to the movie. Some things directly follow on. Now, for me, the clearest the clearest, you know, sci-fi genre for us is Stargate. The movie was incredible for me.
Stargate,
yeah. Series was just off the planet, and so good. Such a good series, and beautiful follow-on from the movie. Beautiful.
Absolutely. So they kept all the characters. Now, Stargate, as I agree 100%, if you know anything about me, you know it's my favorite science fiction TV series of all time.
Yep.
Absolutely up there. They took a few of the characters and the concept of the Stargate, and they expanded it into this incredible world. Like, they took the concept of the gate, but instead of going, you can only go to this one place, they said it can go to multiple worlds. So now we get multiple enemies, multiple religions, slavery, intergalactic travel, mind control, fanaticism, covert military shit, corrupt governments, and so on. They turned that movie as the ultimate movie converted into a TV series, right? It was
100%
fucking very good, right?
Very well done. Not only that, they treated the Stargate like this narrative vehicle that allowed them just to have any... They had some bizarre tales in Stargate too, you know, like... Yeah,
absolutely, because it's very clever, because what they can do is they can go, oh, every episode, the Stargate takes us to a new planet. Boom! New fucking story every episode. It's genius writing. It's a genius way of doing a TV series. Like, you can never run out.
You can never run out. And no matter what, if you keep those stories in check and have those materials in future episodes, the arc continues. And
they did a perfect arc.
So did it well. They
17
did it so
series.
Well.
17 seasons over 3 series and 2 movies, not including the original. And obviously, I don't include the animated series. They had an animated series, Stargate Infinity, because it's...
Wow, I didn't even know about that.
It's called Stargate Infinity. Most of us Stargate heads... don't talk about it because it's, well, how do I put this delicately? Fucking shit. I mean, the main character's name is Boner. I'm not even joking. His name is Gus Boner. Like,
God.
I mean, it's like double N's. It's probably Boner, but it sounds like Gus Boner. I mean, we're ignoring that. So 17 seasons, 3 series and 2 movies, 3 if you include the first one. It's arguably one of the best sci-fi series of all time. So, of course...
Oh, definitely.
Some idiot wants
at least
to ruin
top 3
it.
Top 5 easy.
Well, they were rebooting it.
When
Roland Emmerich was this is news a few years ago, he wants to take the series back. He wants to get the original Stargate, reboot it into a trilogy.
Yep.
We talked about this maybe back in 2015 when we first started this podcast. And he wants to reimagine it in his image. Because what happened was he made a movie and then MGM bought the rights to it. So they ended up making a TV series out of it. But what he wants to do is he wants the rights back. He wants to make a trilogy out of it and then completely negate the rest. So basically, it's Star Warsing it. He says, this isn't how I originally wanted it to be. So he's going to scrap the entire TV series.
What?
Making it non-canon. And own the rights to it again, reboot Stargate, and thus negating or ruining any chance of a future Stargate series, which I would actually like to see a future Stargate series, provided it's not a fucking prequel. So, yeah, that's what was happening. But, good news, when Independence 2 came up, it flopped and swallowed a bunch of severed dicks. The plans to reboot the Stargate series got swallowed up and died too, basically dissolving in a putrid pile of dick-filled stomach acid soup. So, because Independence Day flopped, which was a Roland Emmerich film, basically, he decided he's not going to do the trilogy anymore. It's not, he can't even do it. It's just not feasible. And here's a quote from him. Listen, I think if we did Stargate right, the fans would like it, and we could do something really good. But if we screw it up, they'll reject it. As they should. But I kind of don't want to do it if they think we'll screw it up. And that's one of the things that's holding us back. So, I don't know. Thank God he didn't end up making the rebooted series. But for a while there, it was like, Stargate's coming back. And a few people were like, cool. Most of us are like, no. Because the TV series is way better than the movie. So it's like...
Way better.
And there's so much of it. It's 17 seasons. One of the longest running science fiction series of all time. Not TV shows, individual series. Stargate SG-1 had 10 seasons of continuation. Awesome. Then you had Stargate Atlantis for 5.
And they were like big seasons. They were like, what, 25 episodes or something?
22 most of them.
Huge.
Yeah, absolutely epic. So, I don't know. I think if you're going to do a new Stargate series, like, this gives us hope because now he doesn't have it anymore. Still owned by MGM. I think there is hope still of a new Stargate series in the future. And I think that's okay if you do it right. You get some of the old producers back on board. You get Joseph Malozzi of sorts, a Joseph Malozzi type. And you get... You set the series however many years after the last series, Stargate Universe, ended. So you get new cast, new adventures, new enemies, and you throw in some awesome cameos, a passing of the torch, if you will. You keep it light and fun like the original, but you spice it up with a bit of grit for the times, you know?
Yeah, I think, look, I really, really hope that they pay attention to their fans in the fact that they don't shit on the original series.
Absolutely.
It's risky business. It's risky business.
Dude, I could fucking write this series so goddamn well, man. I'm the biggest Star Trek dick around. If you gave me this fucking series, I could write a Stargate series, TV series, continuation. Just give me the keys to the Stargate car, baby, and I'll drive this mummer into the hearts of all of all the Stargate fans.
Look, I don't know anybody else who knows Stargate as well as you do.
Dude, I'm just a big fan. I fucking love this thing, and it's like, it's just...
See, for me, I'm SG-1.
Yeah, SG-1 is sick. For me, love them all.
I didn't get through Atlantis. I saw all of SG-1, but I didn't get through Atlantis. So,
you're dead to me, motherfucker. Dude, I love Stargate Atlantis a lot. Maybe even more than SG-1. I don't know. I like them both. They're both great.
I liked Atlantis, but I don't know why I didn't even get through it. Something popped up and... Maybe I was living overseas at the time or some shit like that. And
dude, I think
you need time to watch shows. You do. And
look, Stargate 17 season, the 3 movies is pretty epic.
You see, I saw SG-1 as it was rolling out. I didn't catch it, like, you know, after the fact. I saw it as it was coming out. Like, I watched a lot of my family. Like, they were into it too, you know. Like, they were big on it.
Yeah. Yeah, I watched it as coming out too as a kid, and then like, but I missed every other episode because that was the time where you, like, when you're old and you, like, we're so old, we had to sit in front of a TV at X time at 6 o'clock if we wanted to watch Stargate and tune in.
Right? That's what happened.
If you're lucky enough to air it in this country. So it was like,
yeah.
Fuck. So I'd say
didn't get cancelled for some home doing up
renovation show yeah. Or like some sort of cooking show back then.
Australia. God, run for the hills.
I grew up in the time, four channels. Four. We had four where I grew up.
Same. That was our era.
Yeah, unless you're some rich kid. Fuck.
So one of my favourite sci-fi films of all time is Terry Gilliam's 12 Monkeys.
Right. And
My fear about...
With
Bruce Willey, Madeleine Stowe, and Terry Gilliam.
And that guy.
Terry Gilliam's so good, Brad Pitt. One of my fears about if they do a Stargate, okay, this is what Terry Gilliam wrote about the 12 Monkeys show. I know nothing about that. That's just ridiculous. It doesn't have anything to do with me, and no one has contacted me. It's a very dumb idea. And that's my fear, that they're not going to do the knowledge with the material they've already got and go and connect straight into it. That it's going to be, you know, because 12 Monkeys, like this 12, I love that movie, and I couldn't bring myself to watch the 12 Monkeys series.
But you watched the first episode, right?
I couldn't watch any, I think I've watched like half the first episode and I couldn't watch any more.
I didn't watch it. I don't know what it's about. I don't want to know.
Dude,
I don't know.
There's some things which are sacrosanct that you cannot touch them.
Yeah, I think as a Stargate movie was like had such a good idea, but it was just, you know, Kurt Russell running around the desert. That movie was easily turned into a TV series. It was 12 Monkeys, because like it was basically here's a portal to the rest of the universe. Done. TV series. Yep. 12 Monkeys. Like, what do you go from there? Like, they did it all already.
Yeah, and they have to rewrite it, you know. They have to rewrite what actually happened in the 12 Monkeys bit. And apparently, like, after I sort of stopped watching, so I watched sort of like half the first episode or something, and I read some reviews, and I was just sort of like, no, I can't besmirch my beautiful memory and how I hold 12 Monkeys, because it's based on the French film done in the 75. We talked about it before in one of our
we talk about it a lot.
Yeah, and
this is basically a 12 Monkeys podcast.
Yeah, and it really look, I was disappointed, and a lot of fans are still disappointed, like on Metacritic, that Tomatoes, any reasonable rating of that show rates it like, you know, maximum 60 or something, 60% or something. It's really...
That's better than I thought it would get.
But, in all honesty, hats off to them. It's in its fourth season.
Really? It's come out 4 years ago.
Yes, it's in its fourth season. And,
Must be all right then.
Well, that's right. So it must have some sort of following, at least, that people are going, yeah, this show's watchable, I'm enjoying it. It's just for us oldies who really hold the original as such a landmark.
Yeah, that's a six-beer film, dude.
Yeah, it's such a landmark. It'd be like taking, you know, like, let me think. It'd be like taking a Space Odyssey and turning it into a series. I just wouldn't want it to be done.
Boy, because you can't, like, that's lame. Like, where do you, that's what I'm thinking. Like, even if, see, look, sacrilege, I know. I don't really care for 2001 Space Odyssey. I think it's a good historic film. Yeah. That's what, like, we talked about. It's a history film. Four beers.
Yep.
But for me, it's like, why turn that into a series other than slapping the name on there? Like, there's nowhere to go with that to make it a series. Like, oh, you got evil robot. Like, who cares? There's no way to make that into a series. Stargate, you could. Other films, you can. And, like, other series, you can. But then again, you've got a well-rounded, well-concluded, finalized story, and some of these things do come about. Westworld, for example. How fucking awesome is the reimagined Westworld?
Mind you, they had a budget to buy Anthony, Tony.
Yeah.
Can I say something hilarious?
But the writing's still good. What's
up? The writing's incredible. After finishing watching Westworld, I actually went to YouTube and wanted to see some highlights of Tony. Mm-hmm. God, he's good. Anthony Hopkins, the hop dog.
The hop dog.
God, he's good.
Dude, if you've got hop dog budget, you can make anything.
What can't Hop Dog do?
Dude, Hop Dog can't.
Fun fact, he's an alco.
Is he?
Full blown. Hasn't touched a bottle, hasn't touched a drink in many a year. He was full blown.
Well.
And it connects some dots for me
too. Is that fun? I don't know if that's a fun fact. He's got cancer. Fun fact. Well, here's another thing though. Here's some new series that are coming out.
What do you
that
got?
I thought were interesting. Now, we talked about this. This is a big one. We talked about this a few episodes ago. Tremors. The Kevin Bacon is back to do a Tremors TV series where he's an alcoholic.
Yeah.
He's dealing with an inflated sense of ego because he stopped them all. He's a small town hero. The story is Kevin Bacon saved the day by killing all the Tremors. He was a small town hero, but that was his one claim to fame as a bit of a nobody. Now he's 30 years later or 20 years later. He's a washed-up nobody, but he's still claiming to, like, remember that time I saved the town? Everyone's like, yeah, fuck off, Kevin Bacon. The actor, Kevin Bacon. And then go also in the show, they were like, hey. No, everyone likes Kevin Bacon. But also, so that's Tremors. Tremors is coming back, baby, with a TV series. And you know what? I like it. I think
that's
you could
doable.
It's doable, but only for a short time because it's still just Tremors. It's still big snakes coming out of the ground. But what you could do is expand on the universe. Are they government made? Like, it's a Stranger Things type scenario. Small town stuff. If you know anything about me, you know it goes space, zombies, small town mystery. These are my three favorite types of sci-fi.
Nice, nice.
And
now I'm thinking as well, like, there could be a wider implication in the series as well, sort of like these things are connected to something else.
Yeah,
something like,
that's what I'm saying. Expand on the universe a little bit. It's not a monster movie anymore. It could be like I said, Stranger Things. It could be a government conspiracy. There could be aliens. It could be something interesting. Like, he's got a thing that attracts them to him. Like, he could have pheromone or something.
It's like when you're a teenager and you're at the bar and you know, you're not really looking for a date or anything, but you see that girl across the bar and you're like, that's doable.
Yep, that's what Tremors, the TV series, is. And I think
realistic, doesn't it?
If it's done right.
Yeah.
If they do it like they did, which I haven't actually finished it, I don't think, to be honest. I sort of drifted off a bit in it, but Ash versus Evil Dead, which is a continuation of, and that's the thing about Tremors, it's not a prequel, it's not a thing, it's set, the exact set. This is what I'm saying, this is how you do a prequel. At least this is how you start in the right direction. If you're doing a prequel to whatever, movie, TV, book, who gives a shit, or book stuff doesn't matter, but if you're doing it to anything on film, you set it, not a prequel, this is how you do a sequel, you set it the same amount of years after how long it was since the show got cancelled. That way you can get the same actors as cameos or as mains, but they're aged appropriately. The world's the same. The technology's the same. You can do it on a lower budget too, because you don't have to create sets from 20 years ago, because you can set it in the modern times. Tremors is doing it.
Look, for me, that sounds absolutely wonderful. I'll be definitely watching that. That sounds like it's going to be fun, scary.
Well, they're awesome. In the right track. You've got Kevin Bacon, you've got original writing staff, and you've got it set X amount of years after the last one was made. Those three things alone
what
say
you're... What was Tremors, like 1992,
there's a 90s film.
90s film. Let's say 90s film. Let's say 90s.
Who knows?
There's something else which I give massive respect to for this type of approach, where they take the X number of years after the original film because the actors have aged that number of years anyway.
Yeah.
It goes against the cult of youth that America holds so dear. And I think all the prequels are being made because they want to have the young, handsome,
sexy, ripped.
Right?
Super abs.
Give women, older women, their due. Give older men their fucking due.
Dude, men get bald and their teeth fall out when they get old.
You know?
Yeah.
I can. There's. Look at Sigourney. She's beautiful as hell.
Fuck.
Look at Julianne Moore. My goodness. Beautiful as anything. You know? And these
I'd
women
have
are
some
well
more
over 50.
Of that. Dude, Sigourney was like 70.
Annette Bening, well over 50, beautiful as anything, you know. Mm. She's got wrinkles, she's got the crook of a turkey, beautiful woman.
Dude, it's like that new Kendrick Lamar song. He's like, give me the girl with the stretch marks on her ass or whatever it is. Like, he doesn't want no fake bitches, you know what I mean? And he brought out, like, kind of tubby chicks in his film clips that had stretch marks on their ass.
Good.
He's like, this is real. This is what it's all about.
Wow, that's fantastic. I didn't even know that. Like, that's good, you know. Like, there is this youth obsession, and it's not healthy, and never has been.
We can't just objectify pretty girls, we have to objectify all of them. That's Kendrick Millar, 2017,
and boys as well. Men and boys, we need to be able to, you know, see the beauty in the human being,
and not the beauty is exactly right, but it's also just the reality. And that's why I'll take a series. Like, I hate a fucking show where the scientists, the doctors, the experts, the geniuses are all like 21. I'm like, you got potential, man. But you got nothing on the 34-year-old or the 45-year-old who has your level of intelligence and then 20 years experience. Like, I just
experience
don't,
on top, exactly right.
I hate that when you see, like, you watch all those NCIS or what. I don't watch any of this stuff, but every time you skim past it, you're like, the whole fucking forensics team is like 20, and you're like,
You have people in your life who you can choose. You have an optometrist you can choose. You have a doctor. You can choose to visit a certain doctor if you want. Let me tell you something. None of those fuckers in my life are fucking younger than me. There's no chance. I always go for the fucking, like, you know, they've got to be age. They have to have the experience on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want the young fucking doctor just, you know.
There's nothing wrong with young doctors, to be fair. But it's just that it's not that common. Like, and you know what? Even if the young doctor was better than the old doctor, there's still a hierarchy. It takes years to get to that position. I just don't believe a 20-year-old to be in charge of an entire ward on an intergalactic space vessel.
Because apparently you have to be a semi-millionaire to get dentistry done in Australia. So if it's a student dentist, fuck, bring him on.
Here's another one. Resident Evil. TV series.
Abort. Run for the hills. How on earth?
Here's the thing.
Wait. If they took it back to the original source material, maybe.
They're not taking it back to the original source material. What they're doing, that it's a continuation from the films. So in a way, cool, continuation. Films suck. So it's how good would it be if it was Resident Evil, the video games in TV
form? The video games.
Ugh. But no, it's not. It's set after the film that's coming out at the end of this year. The last film, if it's not already out.
The films have been some of the better movies that have come from video games. I have to give them that credit.
I can only give the first film credit because it's fucking kick-ass. Doesn't matter if it doesn't follow the story. It's awesome. Like, it's a fucking kick-ass little action romp with Marilyn Manson doing the soundtrack. It's fucking great.
Yeah, it's got
Michelle Rodriguez, Mila Jovovich, a bunch of other guys. It's fucking sick, dude.
It's pretty cool. It's pretty.
The CGI is terrible, but
The CGI is horrendous. The Umbrella Corp, that's all that type of stuff. But you think about those, the games to movies genre. Oof. Mm. It's a brutal genre.
Not many. That's true.
Prince of Persia works for me because I'm just such a Gemma Arterton guy.
Yeah, I don't even get that because I only played Prince of Persia the first ones where it was that side scroller and the spikes would come out of the ground and you'd be like, fuck.
Same. Like,
I don't care. But here's one for you. You might enjoy this. The Truman Show, the TV series.
You're kidding me.
How do you do this? Now, there's heaps coming out. Like I said, I've only picked sort of sci-fi stuff. How do you do a Truman Show
without Carrie?
Yeah.
Impossible.
I don't even know.
I think it's a bad project. You can't do it. Carrie is one of those actors who is bigger than life, and everything they do, anything that's connected to him, instantly they'll say Carrie.
Yeah.
It's like that Dylan Moran joke about talking to Germans. No matter when I talk to a German person, no matter how lovely or kind and intelligent they are, in the back of my mind, I'm always going, Hitler, Hitler, the Hitler thing. They killed all the fucking Jewish people. Hitler, Hitler, Hitler. Yes, yes. I can't help it. And same with Jim Carrey. If they do a Truman Show, I'll be like, Carrie, Carrie, the whole Carrie thing. Carrie, where's Carrie?
Here's how they're doing it. You ready?
Yeah, okay. What do you got?
Hackers tap webcams and search our emails. Burglars monitor Foursquare for local marks on vacation. And impressionable teenagers send scandalous pictures to one another without a second thought. In a world where we are dangerously naive about personal privacy, the story of Truman Burbank has become more poignant and resonant than ever. I don't even know...
What?
So, what they're doing is... No one really knows what's kind of happening here. Basically, it's...
Can't be done, man. Nah.
Yeah, they're thinking it's kind of like the guy's being secretly filmed and his life's being scripted, but it's not in a big dome sort of thing like in the Truman Show. But I don't really get how you could do that in this day. I don't know. Sounds like... Nah, you can't do that. That's fuck... No.
There was a show... There was a movie called The... Game, I think it was called, with old mate Kirk.
Yeah,
Thomas, I think it was.
Fucking
I think it was called The Game. And in a way, this is the Truman Show at large. However, it was so disappointing, that film. It was so shitty, but yeah. I just don't think it can be done, the Truman Show. It shouldn't, nah. I almost guarantee it will not be like a major home run. It will be like a small goal kicked by an invalid child in the suburbs.
Brutal.
That's what it's going to be. It's going to be...
A child who can't get hit in the face and have his lips split because it's already split because he's got a cleft palate because he's impregnated.
Wow.
So that's pretty brutal.
Maybe cock. Fuck, the spikes went all over the place.
Yeah, Michael Douglas, The Game is what you were talking about.
Yeah, Michael Douglas, not Kirk, though. Michael.
Sorry. Michael Douglas. But the thing is, that's like, he paid them to do that. And that was cool. That was a cool fucking movie, man.
It wasn't too bad. It wasn't too bad.
I really liked it because you don't know the whole time. It's that it's all fake until the end. Like, that's fucking... That was a twist and a half. That was a good old school twist.
I think we're at the age now of cinema and series making where risk taking is becoming a thing of the past, and DJing, I don't want to say disc, I'll say movie J-ing where they, or series J-ing where they
MJ-ing.
Take... Yeah, they're just media-jaying.
MJ Watsoning.
They're media-jaying, right? Yeah, and they're taking elements of this, elements of that, stitching it together and saying, they've already got these audiences, we'll plug into those. The producers, the finance companies go, yes, we can support that. Here's a loan.
Bingo.
Go do your best. And where we're losing out, I think, as a species, I think, is the individual human effort, the individual human... ability to say, here's a story that hasn't been told before. Here's a take. Here's a fresh angle, you know?
Mm.
Mad Max was a good point. We both really liked Mad Max, right? What was it called? Fury
Road? Absolutely.
Fury Road.
They nailed it. It was perfect.
It was good. It was good. They did plug into the audience. However, it's an interesting plug because Mad Max had long since been dead.
Yeah. But
no one was thinking about Mad Max.
Nah.
And the generation that went to see Mad Max Fury Road really weren't the old generation who watched Mel Gibson strut around in some leather tights.
But you know what? I actually kind of think instead of Tom Hardy, if it was Mel Gibson, it would be better. I don't know. I know they had to do a passing of the torch sort of thing, but
Mel doing it? Mel's still cool, man.
Dude, because Tom Hardy...
I know he's a douchebag.
Because Mad Max is... I don't care about him in real life, but the thing is, man, Mel Gibson can act, and he's Mad Max. And for me, in this film, Tom Hardy wasn't like... He had a bit of a fight with that big dude at the end on top of the truck or whatever, but the reality was, it's more about like... He was all fucked up and coming to terms with himself. You could have slotted any actor in there, but you could have slotted Mel Gibson in there, and he could have done the role of Tom Hardy. Like, he couldn't be a Furiosa, because she was the tough one. She was the girl kicking ass.
Yeah,
Tom Hardy was a broken, beaten man, and, like, he was big and strong. But I still think, like, and, what you know, he's throwing exasperated punches, and sometimes they connect, but other times someone else does the job for him. I think you could have slotted Mel Gibson right into that role, and
You're absolutely right. What about drunk Mel Gibson in Lethal Weapon, where he's alcoholic and fucked up? He'd be perfect in it.
Yeah. Aging Mel Gibson now, who's like been in a few films since, like, you could have just put him right back into that role.
He was in a good film like a few years back, 3 Days or something, where he gets his daughter kidnapped, Ayla. Was that Taken or something? Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, I actually watched that one. Yeah, that was...
It was good.
Yeah, it was classic Mel Gibson. But he also, what I liked about him was, he was still a badass in it, but at the same time, he was tired like an old man should be. He's not Bruce Willising about, where he's like 60 and jumping onto jet planes and stuff, like in Die Hard movies and things. You know, like...
Mm.
You know, old Mel Gibson... It's as much as it sucks to see old, weathered, smoke-lipped, fucking racist Mel Gibson crumbling away, at least he's embracing his age in his characters. Like, he's not...
Yeah.
You know,
And that's where people don't give Arnie enough respect.
Yeah, well, Arnie's still kind of the tough guy, even in some of his movies now. Like, he's got a new movie coming out, but it's a comedy, so that's different. But he's aged, you know?
And he shows that, even in the Terminator series, he shows pops, you know, like, such a dreadful film. We go back in that YouTube video where they explain it. They go back in time to prevent the past from happening.
But we can't bring clothes. Yeah, that's it. We don't have the technology yet. that's so good. I think that was
awesome, wasn't it?
I mean, that's Oral Noughts, I think, did that.
Is that who it was? Was it? Yeah, that was classic.
I'll just have to double check, because if it is, I should give a shout out to those guys, because I fucking love those guys.
It's hilarious, isn't it? It's so good. And that, it sort of goes back to a little bit what we were saying about the youth obsession, you know, like, and Tom Hardy's a bigger name at the moment than Mel Gibson is. Like, a lot of the media are pretty much done with Mel Gibson. And in a way, the media is quickly done with elderly people in a way. I'm not saying Mel Gibson's an elderly person, but I'm saying he's old.
He's elderly. The media's done. He's like 80.
And we want to create a world in which... elderly citizens can participate with the same verve and vigour that young people can, provided their health is capable of doing so.
Mm.
That's not too much to ask, really. I'm getting a bit political there, but you know, fuck it.
Fuck him. You can say whatever you want.
Jesus. Come on. It's Mel. I'm not even a big Mel fan. I like Mel. But I'm just saying for the, you know... And it's weird. Like, they enforce, in many ways, the grandpa role in media. Particularly out of American films, you know? One of the great movies I saw recently was The 100-Year-Old Man Who Climbed Out the Window. This 100-year-old man gets into murder. He gets up to all types of drugs. He goes off the rails and hooks up with women. It's sick. You know, but of course it's a European film, so the Europeans can do it. But in America, you're either young or nobody.
Mm. That's the way of the world. How about this one?
What's that one? Series?
Okay, so there's a few things coming out. Divergent. Don't care. Do you ever watch those ones?
Nah, couldn't. What is it? YA, right?
Yeah. Underworld, the vampire one with Kate Beckinsale or whatever.
I quite liked those. They were sort of edgy.
I kind of liked them a bit, but you know, there's one scene.
They were just hangovers from Blade, weren't they?
Yeah, basically, it's Blade, but not Blade. Blade, look, not Blade basically. 1 was fine. Blade. Or,
whatever's.
Nah, Blade 2 was terrible. Blade 3 was not as good as Blade 1, so less than fine. But they're Blade, so you watch them because it's funny as to watch, like, washed up Wesley Snipes trying to kill vampires with Ryan Reynolds in his properly ripped form. But here's the thing, though. Yeah, so it was like, there's one scene in Underworld that I fucking hate about all things. I hate this. If I ever see this in a movie, I don't care. Everything I don't is dead to me. The entire series, the franchise, the actors, the cast, everything. And this is shooting a hole while spinning around and shooting a hole through a thing. The only time I like, the only time I will allow it is the Fifth Element. Because it's a comedy. Like, Fifth Element is a Luc Besson comedic sort of bizarre film, so I'll allow that. But what I fucking hate is, like, in Underworld, this werewolf's running towards her and in this corridor in a hotel room, and she's like, fuck. So she pulls out these two guns, they're like automatic pistols, and she goes, like, shoots a hole around, and then she falls to the floor and can run away. I'm like, shoot the werewolf! You've got, like, this, all these guns. Like, you just blow this fucking cunt's head off, and instead you're like, you have to do, like, a cool, because it looks cool, right? You shoot a hole around you, and the bullets are so awesome. I just don't see it functioning that way. Like, you can't just cut through. If you do it with a laser or something, but, like, I don't know, man. I just...
You can't take them at all seriously. They tried to be serious. That was the problem. At least Wesley Snipes was Wesley Snipes, you know?
So, yeah, exactly. So, here's the thing about Underworld. It's not a continuation. It's not a prequel. All it's doing is it's name-grabbing. It's taking inspiration from the movie. So, they bought the rights to Underworld.
So, it's going
to
be vampires versus lichens again.
Yeah, sort of thing. Which, you know what? I fucking like vampires, and I like lichen stuff. I like werewolf shit. I like it all.
I do, but not enough to watch Twilight, and I hope...
No, absolutely not. But what I mean is, like, because that's YA stuff again. But it's more like, I actually do enjoy vampire lore and that sort of mythology, but there just hasn't been anything really great yet that's really... I want them to do it right. Maybe this will be okay.
Yeah, it's hard. Vampires are really hard. Like, it's really hard to write a good vampire script, and that's why there are so few good vampire films.
Name two.
There's so few. I'm going to say... Well, one of the best is Coppola's Dracula with Keanu. I think that's fantastic. Anthony Hopkins again. Anthony Hopkins. Fantastic. And the other one I'll say was Antonio Banderas, Brad Pitt, interview with Tom Cruise, Interview with a Vampire. I think they were both well done.
Interview with a Vampire with little girl, Spider-Man.
What's her name?
I don't know.
Kirsten Dunst. Bingo. Kirsten Dunst, yep.
And, she was good in that. And also, that would have been a weird-ass fucking thing to ask, because she was, like, sexually frustrated because she was... trapped in a child's body but mature in her mind, so she wanted to fuck but everyone thought of her as a child. But the thing is, and that's like a really interesting character, because she's like, I'm here forever.
Taboo in society all across the board, you know, it's Lolita all over.
Yeah, but here's the thing, how do you get a child actor to say those lines? Because she actually is a kid, like in the story it's kind of makes sense, like, you know, she's 12 or whatever,
it's
and you're
similar.
Like,
that's why you can't do The Professional anymore, who had
Jean Reno and Natalie Portman.
And Natalie Portman, that was a big age gap, my friend.
Well, see, a lot of people say, like, they weren't in love. He loved her as a daughter, but I look at it and go, that was straight up, he wants to fuck her.
There was something there. There was sexual something, I believe.
It most definitely comes across that way. Here's another one. The Illusionist, you know, that's a thing that they're coming out with from...
Old Mate.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's okay. Okay, I mean, I'm not going to be massively into it, but I'll have a look.
Yeah, that's it. These are all the things that I thought were interesting sort of comings up.
These are fascinating, though. I'm surprised. There's a lot.
Well, look, it's been good before. Westworld's done it. Ash versus Evil Dead was pretty good. Not great, but okay. Sarah Connor Chronicles was a TV series that spun off, some people say second or third best Terminator. Do you say second or third? I say
third,
right? He goes 2-1 Chronicles, right?
Goes 2-1 Chronicles, correct.
And then the rest is sort of just whatever.
In brackets, Terminator.
Yeah. 12 Monkeys, I don't know. Back to the Future. Did you ever see the Back to the Future animated series? I didn't. There's a lot of animated series. Like, Ghost in the Shell was based off the movie. But there's heaps of anime. Like, I don't even know. I can't even bother doing
that. There's a Lord of the Rings animation way back in the day, too.
That's right. That's where they get the Lemmywink song from. Down, down to Goblin Town. Down, down to Goblin Town. That was actually from the original Lord of the Hobbit animated TV series that was going down to Goblin Town when they went into the Goblin Cave. And in the new movie, The Hobbit, that's when they had the big troll, the Goblin King or whatever, and he cuts him open and steals all the... That's when the crack in the cave opened up. So, but in South Park, they had Lemmywinks, Lemmywinks, or whatever. You know that song?
That Lemmywinks shit is just...
They totally nicked that.
It's so out there.
They totally stole that from Down Down to Goblin Towns. Down, down, Lemmywinks, down. It was down, down to Goblin Town. And if you actually listen to that, it's pretty interesting. They had a... Do you remember that one, though?
Yeah, absolutely, I remember that one.
Yeah, that was
Lemmywinks, you must find Katata fish.
Yeah, that's right.
Fuck, it's out there, man. If you, Master Brunbauer, if you were to create a series from a movie...
From a movie.
Let's do it. Well, give me like at least three or five. You could probably have more. You could probably have five if you want. But give me at least three.
Look, we're going well over time here. And to be honest, I've not thought of one.
Okay, I've thought about this. I'm going to give you some. All right, you do it,
and I'll think of one whilst you're telling me your delicious... Okay. So what you're saying is, just to clarify, you're saying if you could turn any movie that's not been previously done... Mm-hmm. Any movie that's been made, if you could pick any movie to make into a TV series, several seasons, I suppose, but understand that it's not probably going to be Game of Thrones budget, but, you know, a decent budget, but still, what would you like to see in TV form, and how would you do it?
The first one I thought of was A Scanner Darkly.
Oh, good choice.
Done in the same animation style. Same make it cast? Half an hour episodes.
Oh, I mean, you can't.
I don't know. You can't. You couldn't afford it.
You couldn't afford it.
It's Downey Jr. who's now...
So
like,
it's a reboot then?
How do you do it? I don't know. Like, same universe, maybe different characters.
Same universe.
Same style.
Yeah, that style.
Same drug, Scanner D. Yeah. Yeah.
I love it. Excellent choice.
Yeah. I think it could work out really, 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 really well.
Well played. What else you got?
The other one I had was K-Pax.
Huh. How do you do this? Because K-Pax, with pedophile, what's his name? I don't know. What?
Spacey.
Kevin Rapey. I don't know what's going on there. Who cares? So he touched some kids. It's Michael Jackson, man. Michael Jackson.
it's ignorant. No, but nothing's being convicted. Like, you have to let these people be innocent until proven guilty.
I don't even want to go into this area.
You have to.
Like, what? Yeah, that's what a lot of people are saying. Like, whatever happened
accusations are fine.
Whatever happened to due justice? Or, like, it was innocent until proven. And now, it's like, Twitter means you're guilty. But anyway,
apparently.
Let's fucking... We're well into this podcast. We are very late.
And cut that, because we'll get...
We've only got a few minutes left, so let's fucking... Well, we don't have a time stipulation, this, actually. We could talk
K-Pax, I thought, would be really, really good.
But is Kevin Spacey not just a psychopath? This is what I love about this movie, is they left it open. They don't do this much anymore, and it pisses me off. Because at the end of the day, Kevin Spacey... Was he in the body of a human, or was he just a fucking lunatic who had a breakdown? And this
had a mental episode, and then was had another snapback mental episode. You know,
absolutely, and that's what makes it so brilliant.
Yep.
And we will never know the answer to that. So if you're going to do this in a series, are you giving me the answer, or are you affirming something? Are you confirming something?
No, I think it would be... Honestly, I enjoy that K-Pax so much, the idea of it, that there is actually... And that's why I love that Man from Earth so much, that there is some, you know, one if God was one of us. It's sort of like that, you know, like it's a human being.
I feel like if you were to do K-Pax a series, I think you would answer the question that I don't want to answer.
No, I don't think you could, because if you definitively answered it, you'd ruin it.
Exactly. So, but if you did it in a TV series, how do you string this thing along for three seasons or whatever without answering that question?
Yeah, fuck Limitless, that TV series. It's shit. I fucking hate it. I've seen
I never saw it.
Fuck it.
The movie was fine.
The movie was okay, but the movie was also that pretentious fucking Yankee shit sometimes.
It was very pretentious, but I love the concept.
I like the concept because I sort of like mind-altering substances myself. So, you know, alcohol, mind-altering.
What else you got?
The last one I've got, which I thought would... Now, this is the winner of them all, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
V for Vendetta.
Ooh, I could watch that.
It's the same, but it's a follow-on. There is no V anymore. I think V dies in V for Vendetta anyway.
Yeah.
But it's the same environment. It's the rise from the ashes of that world, where it's super monitoring, super like, you know, high tech, everything's under control, and the cracks start to develop, and all it takes is one individual to do a series of acts and it all goes to shit. I think that world of V for Vendetta could be cool.
Yeah.
Then my last one, well, that was supposed to be the last one, actually, for V for Vendetta, to tell the truth, but
you've got
the
some
one
backups.
I thought about was Gattaca. That was expansive. Gattaca was expansive. I think there's a lot more there. And it's that genetic modifications, which doesn't feature that heavily in sci-fi these days that much.
Yeah, know? Now there's one thing it's interesting you say that, because I was thinking about a space-based, like he's going there, the genetic, I don't know if you, I think that would be Gattaca would be very much a drama, wouldn't it?
I think so. I think it'd be sort of like...
I don't have time for that.
I don't know if I have that much time for it, but I think it could be interesting still.
I totally fucked up, dude, because I totally forgot. I just did a fucking video on it at YouTube/ Jake's Place, on the Galaxy Quest TV series.
Oh, Galaxy Quest, of course. Yeah. Yeah,
interesting. So, because I was thinking this whole time, what do I want to see in a TV series? And Galaxy Quest kept coming to my mind, and then I kept going, oh, yeah, they're actually doing that. And then so I kept going back and forth. Like, it's in the works, man. So, interesting. I don't know what I would pick.
I'm scared about that one too, to tell the truth.
And watch the video I've vented.
Good. I did see your video. Yeah. I did watch your video, and I'm scared as well.
I don't know, man. It's interesting.
I'm going to be going Sigourney.
Sigourney has to be in it. Actually, you know what? You need all of them to be in it. Well, Rickman's we can't have.
Dead.
But
Rickman's dead.
Okay, so if you could pick two, in my opinion, there's four actors that are standout-ish in this film, and there's a lot of like Rickman is. I'm excluding Alan Rickman because he's no longer with us. So I've picked three.
May he rick in peace.
Yeah. So there have. In my opinion, there are four actors that you need in this film, and that is Tim Allen, Sigourney Weaver, Tony Shalhoub, and Sam Rockwell. Now, there was Tommy Weber, was the character played by Daryl Mitchell. I don't know. I don't really know him that well. Then there were a lot of the other cast as well. Who have done a lot of different films like the aliens and stuff, but in my opinion, I don't really even care about the aliens. Like, I just care about the main cast.
Banter and the relationship between the cast. It was incredible.
But then again, you got Justin Long, you know, the Jeepers Creepers guy. Like, he was the nerd. I feel like he could sort of be in it for a bit, because like he won't cost as much, so it's more feasible for him to be in it. But also, he was the guy who believed in them the whole time. He could be still doing all the tech stuff, you know.
That'd be a good role for him. I really don't like him, man. There's something about him.
Here's my question to you, dude.
I know what it is. It was Die Hard. Fuck you, Long. Fuck you. Fuck you, Bruce Willis, for Die Hard 17 or whatever it was.
From who? Minutes.
He was in Die Hard 17 or whatever.
Oh, right. Yeah. Die Hard 4.
Oh, it was only 4. Yeah.
That's when I stopped watching Die Hard.
How do you go from Samuel L. to Justin
Long? You can't. You don't. There's nowhere to go from there. So here's the thing. Back to my thing. If you can pick two out of what I call the big four, five, but Alan Rickman's no longer here. Because Tony Shalhoub, he's not as famous as the other guys, but like he was such an integral part of that movie because he was the guy who was like just totally okay with everything. Like everyone else was freaking out, and he was like, "I love this, so cool." And like, yeah, you know, so Tony Shalhoub being Monk from the TV series Monk and other movies, but I'm calling them the four main guys.
Yep.
You can only have two in this TV series. Galaxy Quest. Who do you pick?
Definitely Rockwell and Sigourney.
And sorry, I missed that. You're breaking up a bit.
Rockwell and Sigourney for sure.
So you're not picking Tim Allen, who's the captain of the ship.
Nah.
I know you and I love Sam Rockwell a lot, but in the context of this movie, he was just guy. He was just crewman guy. He didn't even have a last name, so he's going to die first. I kind of feel like... I think I have to pick Tim Allen and Sigourney Weaver. I think you have to have Tim Allen. You can't do it without all of them, can you?
I don't think you can pick Tim Allen anymore because he did a porno.
He did what?
He did a porno.
Did he?
I think he did, yeah. And after that, like, his whole entire career fell apart.
Yeah, but I don't care about that. Like, I like him as, you know...
And since when can't you do a porno? Come on, what is this?
Yeah,
this isn't the 1960s.
Yeah, why can't you do a porno?
I like Tim Allen. I used to watch Tool Time all the fucking time. What was it?
Home Improvement.
It's the only Home Improvement show worth its salt.
But didn't he do a porno like when he was really young or something like that? Like in the 70s?
I don't know what it was. Maybe I'm spreading vicious rumours, but yeah, look.
But either way, you have to have Sigourney Weaver, right?
You have to have Sigourney Weaver. And being true to plot,
hot in that film too.
Oh, God. You are right. You would have Tim Allen, but I just can't get over Rockwell. If there's ever an actor who deserves the planet and hasn't been given the planet...
It's Rockwell.
What a dude. You know, what a dude. One of my favourite movies of all time is that Confessions of a Dangerous Mind. Him and Clooney.
Yeah, that was...
It's just the right level of cynicism for me. It's perfect. It's perfect.
Yeah. Mm. Dude, that movie was fucking sick, dude.
Would like to see more Rockwell in space. Moon was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
It was like only a watch once film, but it was still fucking awesome.
Dude, very first episode of this podcast was the actors you wanted to see in space, like design your own perfect movie, and it was just like Sigourney Weaver and Rockwell. That's all Rockwell. We talked about for like 3 hours. I had to edit like an hour and a half out of that podcast. Now look, man, here.
I'm serious man crush there.
I'm gonna fucking check out the Discord. I'm gonna put a little picture in there.
Yep.
Of Sigourney Weaver from Galaxy Quest. Does that not get you going? What?
Crikey Moses.
Like, back in the day, son. Like, she was already like 50-something there.
No, she wasn't.
Yeah, she was close to it, man. It was 97 film.
She's always been built, hasn't she?
Oh, dude, Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah, look at that. Amazing. That's amazing.
Dude, look at that one. Oh, how much does she look like Summer Glau? Or should I say, how much does Summer Glau look like?
Glau look like Sigourney, yeah. So true.
And so a lot of people are saying New Galaxy Quest have Summer Glau as the lead.
Oh, now,
is that not passing of the torch to Summer Glau? I want Summer Glau back in sci-fi. I need her in there. I need her out of Arrow or whatever she's doing now. I need her back into sci-fi, dude, because that, dude, she is fine.
What's she doing in Arrow? What's she like in that?
It's just some corporate thing. I don't know. I stopped watching Arrow like after the first season. I was only watching it because my ex was like, we like this show. It's shit. It's too much emo stuff, dude. It's not.
Isn't it part of like the Iron Fist collection? Is that?
No, because Iron Fist and all that's Marvel. Arrow is DC. It's other.
Shame.
It's,
yeah, it's shame
a,
on
it's,
me.
It's Flash, Batman. What's the other? What are they doing now? Justice League and all that kind of stuff. That's the universe of it.
Okay.
And look, it's okay. Look, to be fair, when I first watched it 4 years ago, whenever it came out, the action was sick. Like, it was actually violent and cool. And then he went on this, like, I can't kill anymore after the second season. He's like, I'm not killing anybody. But I stuck in for a little bit because fucking Crixus was in it from Spartacus. And he was
yeah.
I was like, yeah. And like, Crixus. And then Summer Glau came in. And was like, oh, this is awesome. These are the two. I like these guys.
Yeah.
But it was just too much emo stuff. Like, they're all billionaires and all whining about their emotions. Like, you're a billionaire. Shut the fuck up. You also can shoot arrows and fuck off. Like, I just can't deal with it.
I told you what I want recently about superheroes, right? I'm done with them. I'm done with them. Like, I just can't do it. I'm tired of the over saturation and the whole big fucking, the treatment of it all. Yeah. I want the opposite of superhero, like bum loser. What he does is he wakes up, vomits in the gutter, and then spends the whole rest of the day drinking, abusing people, and that's a 2-hour film. I can't wait to see it. And it's going to be called
Bum Loser.
Superhero Bum Loser, or some shit like that.
I'd watch that.
I can't handle it anymore. It's just...
Well, that's
the inflated
why I think
egos.
If you're gonna do if you're gonna do the TV series, I think what you need to do is, like we talked about, and other podcasts have done it. People talk about this all the time. We're sick of the end of world stuff. It's like we talked about in our last podcast. It's like, where do you go from?
Yeah,
the world's at jeopardy. Like, we've already the world. It's the end of the world, and then it's like the next one's like, it's the end of the world. World, and then the next one's like,
right,
all
the
world,
the end of the galaxy.
Yeah,
it's like, you know.
It's
Black Men in Black said this as well. Men in Black said it's always the end of the world. You don't know. There's always an intergalactic battle cruiser about to explode. You know, there's always the end of the world. And in a way, it is. It's too much. It's too much. Bring it back down to the local scenario so at least people can identify with the shit.
No matter, even though it's a prequel, at least the Star Wars underworld, at least they're localizing it.
And agreed.
I mean, by localizing it, they're still going to fly around the different planets and stuff, but it's not end of world stuff. Like, every movie, like, how do you go from destroying the planet? Like, you can't, you got nowhere to go from there.
God, in that Star Wars where they have it's not the Death Star anymore. It's the, what is it? Star Destroyer or something.
It's like now you can blow up 3 planets.
In one shot, you know? And it's like,
And they even address that in the film. Even Harrison Ford had a line there, which he didn't write, but obviously he said it. And Han Solo's like, so what? It's bigger. We can still kill this. It's like, that was kind of like a little tribute to everyone going, oh, here we go, another Death Star.
Yeah, exactly.
Least they kind of acknowledged it in the Star Wars.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have a soft spot for Star Wars because it was the first sci-fi I ever watched. It was the first sci-fi that ever got me into sci-fi. My dad watched it. And I had all the toys. I was a big guy. And that's why it's so heartbreaking to see it be abused. Because it was the thing that got me into sci-fi. And if you know anything about me, you know, I only really care about like 3 things. And one of those things is science fiction. So like...
Well, look, to be fair, there's 4 things in there. There's martial arts. And fucking where was the martial arts in this recent fucking Star Wars? What the fuck?
Yeah, I don't know, man. It was interesting. But...
Look, like... I'm a big martial arts. You're a big martial arts guy. A lot of films, a lot of material stuff we have watched and invested time into is related to martial arts. And part of Star Wars is martial arts.
So I love martial arts.
You practice martial arts, right? And
yeah,
so
absolutely, dude. It's good.
I mean, I practice, but in the sense that I go into the backyard and swing a stick around and pretend I'm a samurai. But
yeah, I do that all the time.
It's
how many times
great.
Do you hit yourself in the head?
Oh man, I hit myself in the shoulders trying to switch stances, like fucking whack.
Dude,
whack.
Have you ever like sort of got a stick and pretended it's a samurai sword, then hit yourself and thought, thank fuck this isn't a samurai sword?
Yes.
Because this is like, Jesus Christ. Yeah, no.
Yeah, so where's the martial arts at, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm not gonna rant about it. Just here's my idea then. You take Summer Glau for Sigourney's role, you put Rockwell in as the captain. And you get someone else to do guy.
Jesus fucking Christ. No.
What about that?
No, you've done it. You've got...
That could work.
Now, in my video, I explained on Jake's Place /YouTube/JakesPlace.com/TM. I explained that what the guy said, who was doing the whole thing, was he wants to blend old cast with new. So I think what they were talking about in the was they're thinking about in the universe, a new cast, a next generation, if you will, are doing Galaxy Quest 2 or whatever, Galaxy Quest the Next Generation. But then the aliens come back and they're like, hey, it's you guys again. So what I'm thinking is, it's a passing of the torch. Like, it's like, you know, fucking Kirk is done. And so what they're doing is a passing of the torch. So you mainly centralize it around the new younger cast, but you have the old cast, Sigourney and Tony Shalhoub and Sam Rockwell coming back as cameos. But now what I'm thinking is, what you've just done is described the perfect Galaxy Quest. We've helped describe the perfect Galaxy Quest TV series. And this is...
It could be done.
Tim Allen has retired. Guy, who was nobody before Sam Rockwell, is the new captain. Love it. He's ranked up. He was just an extra in the original series. Because remember, in this universe, there's...
It can even be canon like that, right? Like, he's just Guy.
Exactly what I'm saying. Exactly
Captain
right.
Guy.
Actually, right. So what you have is, you had the original cast, and then 30 years later, or 20 years later, you have the reimagined series, but you've got the extras from the original become the new mains. So you have Guy, so you have Tim Allen, Sigourney Weaver, they're retired, but they come in as cameos. I'm actually talking about the TV series in the TV series.
Yeah,
Guy is the new captain, so Sam Rockwell. Summer Glau's the new sexy girl kind of thing. You know, Summer Glau's like 36. She's not even that young, but she's just still amazingly gorgeous, but also cool actor. So she's in there, and then, yeah, a bunch of new guys, and the old cast come in as cameos. Oh, dude, and then the aliens, there's a whole world there to explore. I don't know.
Interesting stuff. Look, it could be really good. It could be really good. I'm going to definitely be watching it. I'm scared about it, though.
Well, here's the thing.
I'm going to have to attend Limoges classes just to get my breathing ready for it. You know, it's going to be hardcore.
Well, if none of the original cast are in there, I'm out.
Even if none of them originally there, I'm going to watch two episodes to see how it flies.
We're sci-fi guys. We're going to watch it.
Yeah, if it's wonky,
we're going to be like, we're going to be squinting the whole time. You know, that grimace. I'm just going to be grimacing like, you're doing Galaxy Quest. Again, name grab. That's all it is.
Did you watch that Sam Rockwell film, Mr. Right?
No.
It's so bad, but it's so good. He's like got this ninja style of... like, he's got this theory of the universe, right, that everything is interconnected by these waves, and if you pay attention enough and concentrate on these things, you can detect things before they happen.
Is it good though?
It was shit, but I loved it. It was the campiest bullshit where Rockwell's just Rockwell. If you get a night with your girl where you want to watch some sort of, you know, laid back cheesy shit that just for the sake of it,
yeah,
it's not bad, man.
We usually watch like Predator and RoboCop.
Oh, it's Predator.
Yeah.
God, Predator's good.
Oh, I'll have to check it out then, man, but I don't know, dude, because like, I like Sam Rockwell, but
it has to be good material. And this is semi-decent material.
It's just an actor,
it's got Anna Kendrick in it.
He's just reading lines, you know what I mean? Like, I love Sam Rockwell, but at the end of the day, if you don't have a good writer, you got nothing.
Yeah, what is it, you know? And this is pretty good. This writer for him, that they, it's all about him, of course. And yeah, they nailed it pretty well. I'm not saying it's like, you know, even four beers. I'm saying it's like, you know,
well,
it's three beers and maybe...
Before
Maybe.
I pass in this world, I will definitely see all of Sam Rockwell's material. That is a guarantee.
See. Oh, there's some that you'll struggle to sit through.
Yep.
There's some bad ones. I couldn't even sit through some of them, and I'm, you know. But give it a go. Give it a go.
All right then, dude. I think we should finish up on that.
Nice.
What do I say? And that about wraps it up. That's what I always say. I don't know. Do we need catchphrases and shit? Who gives a shit? Look, here's the thing, guys. You should always remain cosmically curious, but don't attach yourself to a series just because it's got the title. Remember, it's not the actors, it's not the title that makes a movie, it's the writing. And if the writing is not the same, if it doesn't capture the essence of what you loved, doesn't matter if the cast returns. And don't hate on the actors for doing it. They're just hustlers. They're making a buck. They're just doing their job. Actors are great. We all love our actors. But most of them, 99% of actors, are reading lines written by somebody else. So you have to understand, right. And they're being directed by somebody else. There's many, many cogs in the chain. Just because so-and-so is coming back, doesn't, like Sigourney Weaver in that Gods of Egypt, I mean, good on her for making a buck. Terrible fucking movie. I watched it because Sigourney Weaver's in it. But like, well, I didn't...
God, it was bad, wasn't it?
Yeah. Terrible film. But wow. I don't hate Sigourney Weaver for doing that because it's a job. She's just making a buck, man. So it's like...
And did you notice what happened... Like, this, I know this is supposed to be wrapping up, but like, did you notice what happened to Gerard Butler after 300?
What?
Gerard Butler will never be anybody except Leonidas yeah. now. That's it.
Leonidas.
That's it. He's cooked.
Yeah, that's it. He's done.
He's cooked. He's done.
Yep.
He overacted.
Yeah, that's the thing. So it's like, don't hate on them for doing that shit.
Nah,
but at the same time,
you know.
So when you got these, we got these movies making into a thing. Yeah, I love Star Wars, and then the TV series comes out. Be realistic with your expectations, people. Love it, but at the same time, if you like it, you like it. Maybe you don't care.
Yep.
It's just a movie. You have a life. You have a real world out there that you're interacting with every day. All this stuff is just for pure entertainment. But at the same time, don't. Involve, you know, don't get too fucking wrapped up in it because it's just TV at the end of the day. That's all it is.
Yeah, it is. And but also, I think it's good that some people have their expectations to what they want to have, like, you know, to what they aspire. I mean, we're not going to put up with mediocre shit.
Not
the people,
not if you're
not
paying
put
for
up...
it.
Exactly. And if they want to sell something to us, then they're going to have, their marketing tricks are running dry, their scripts are running dry. Their big budget, flash bang, audio, soundtrack, blah, blah, blah. It's all running dry. Like, look at the Marvels, you know. They all make big bucks still, but they can smell the end already, and they're like, fuck, what are we going to do next?
Mm-hmm.
You know? What are they going to do next?
Well
played, man.
Have fun, kids.